Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the seventh and final study on the subject, Christ, the Rock of Ages. So many times in the Scripture, Christ is referred to as a rock, which, of course, brings before us solidity, safety, value, permanence, timelessness. Christ is the Rock of Ages. We've already considered in the subject of the studies the rock of salvation, the rock of life, the rock of refreshment, the rock of safety and security, the rock of Israel, and the rock of the church, the rock of the individual life. And today we come to the study, Christ, the Rock of Judgment, for those that will not have Christ, who simply do not want him, who knowingly and willfully reject him, he will become the Rock of Judgment. Our study will be found in the 21st chapter of Matthew. The occasion is that our Lord is in the temple teaching the people, and the priests, the chief priests and the elders, come upon him. We read in verse 23 these words, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. Now the multitude was before him. They came on the scene and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Christ says, "I'll ask you a question, and if you answer my question, I'll answer yours." And then he says, "The baptism of John," and of course this was John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord Jesus. The Lord says, "The baptism of John, was it of heaven or was it of men?" Well, the chief priests and the elders withdrew a little bit and had a conference, and they said, "Now, if we say of heaven, then he'll say, then why didn't you believe him? And if we say of men, the people will stone us." And so they came back to the Lord and they said, we can't tell. And the Lord says, "Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." And then he spoke two parables that had reference to them, and I think I shall read the last one. I believe I can read it just as quickly as I can narrate it, and we'll get it in the language of the Scripture itself. Verse 33, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it about round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise unto them. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. And when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of that vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him," and I think probably this was the multitude, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season." Now these chief priests and Pharisees got the message. We read in verse 45, "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake unto of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet, just as they took John for a prophet." Jesus says in verse 42, "Did you never read in the Scriptures that stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner?" The headstone of the corner, of course. "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken." He's referring to himself. "Whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." This is the Lord Jesus speaking of himself as a stone of judgment. These high priests and elders were rejecting him. They expected him to come in pomp and circumstance, as we shall see later in our study today. But he didn't come that way. Now, I want to think of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as he spake of himself in the third person, of course, as the stone of judgment, the rock of judgment. We'll examine, first of all, how the Lord refers to himself in this capacity, and then we will turn to the Epistle of Peter and see how Peter referred to the Lord Jesus as the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense. And there we will develop further the Jewish relationship of the hierarchy, the Jewish hierarchy, to Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ makes this terrible, terribly significant statement: "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." And then he also goes on, "But whosoever, upon whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Now, here is no alternative. It's either one or the other. There is an alternative, but the alternative is either one or the other. Now, we're going to either be broken in our personal relationship to Christ, or we're going to be ground to powder. Now, what does it mean to be broken? I'm going to give you my thoughts on the subject. I think that the philosophies that we have will be broken. There are so many people today that can tell you how they're going to get to heaven. I think that you've got to do the best you can. You've got to show some earnestness about this thing. And when they get through with their story, it's all of themselves. They are their own Savior. Now, we have to change our philosophies. Our philosophies, if we will fall upon Christ, as the way he pictures it here, the figure he uses here, falling upon him, falling upon the rock of ages. If we fall upon the rock of ages, our philosophies will be broken. Isaiah writes in the 55th chapter of his prophecy, verses 8 and 9, these words: "For my thoughts," God is speaking, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Notice, please, "my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Our philosophies will not do. They stand opposed to the Word of God. What do you want, the philosophies of men, even if it's your own philosophy? Or do you want the Word of God in regard to the matter of our salvation? Will we depend upon what we are doing, our supposed self-righteousness, our good works, as we would like to refer to them? Are they going to purchase salvation for them? Well, if they could, why did Christ die on the cross? I say the words reverently, but I'll say them. The cross was God's last-ditch effort to save mankind. He could do it no other way. God the Father sent the Son into this world, sent him to be a man so that he, as man, could receive the stroke of judgment for man's sins. And when Christ hung on the cross, God took your sins and my sins, and he placed them on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah in his prophecy tells us this, chapter 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." The Lord laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, and he died for our sins. Now, that's what the Bible tells us. Do we want our philosophies, or do we want the Bible story? The Bible will give us no cause for exaltation of ourselves. It will give us cause of exaltation in the Lord. But it will take away our smugness, our supposed superiority, Our pride will be broken when we come to the cross. We'll have to find out that we're sinners. Christ died for sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and they're the only kind of people that get saved. Our pride will be broken. We'll have to take our place right along with the others. Then our traditions will be shattered. So many people depend upon tradition. And then our will, probably the last thing about us to be broken, the will be broken. We will no longer be able to hold out against the love of our Lord Jesus, the love of our Father, the plain words of the Scripture that He died for our sins. Yes, if we fall upon Christ, we will be broken. Now Peter tells us this. In his epistle, we read there in verse 3 of the second chapter of 1 Peter, "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, set aside, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." If you understand this scripture correctly, you will realize that the stone of stumbling was so low, it was down on the ground. The Lord Jesus Christ was so humble, the Jewish hierarchy stumbled over him. They expected their Messiah to come in pomp and circumstance. Well, one day he will come in pomp and circumstance to take care of the woes and the problems of this world. But before he takes care of the problems of this world and rules on the reigns on the throne in the millennium kingdom, he must take care of the problem of individuals, and then the collective problem will be taken care of when he comes to reign, and he will come in pomp and circumstance. But the first time he came to take care of the problem of peace in your heart and mine, and they stumbled over him. He was the Nazarene. He was the rock of offense. They killed him. They put him on a cross because they could not see that he first must take care of the problem of sin in the human heart before he took care of the problem of sin in the world and reigns in his glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to die for you and for me. If we will not have him, he will grind us to powder. There will be no resistance. Powder does not offer resistance. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will help men to see what they can have in him. We pray in his name. Amen.